Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conservationist Conversationalist. I am Brandon, and you're...
And I am Aiden Wood.
I think my name... I've just jumbled my name into one. Brandon...
You kind of did a little bit. His name is Brandon Enyart, for the new listeners.
I hate saying my name.
What? Wait, hold up. Why?
Because it's hard... Like, I feel like it's a hard name to say. Like, to say it like Brandon Enyart.
Oh, yeah. Like the... The un of Brandon and they're sort of similar.
Yeah, like
what
like
I just called. Wait, sorry. What if I just started calling you Brandyart?
Brandyart. Like whenever I like call up like a place and they ask what's your name, can I put a name on the order? And I'm like, and they always hear because I think I say my name like Brendan, and so they always put Brendan or Brannon. Like who has the name Brannon? Brannon.
No one wants that.
No. So last night was fun. There was this thing you put on Twitter, I think you were retweeting somebody else's where it was like, your sexy Halloween costume.
Oh yes, yeah, the sexy Halloween costume thing. Okay, sorry, didn't you?
Our audience
doesn't know what it is, so we should.
So basically, it's just you put sexy before your last Google search. Okay, it's one of those things which are fun. And so you and even my mom, which my mom didn't have to do that, but you guys both on Twitter put yours. I couldn't put mine, and I'll explain why. I just got spit like sucking, and then I sounded my voice.
Yours was really good. Okay, he private messaged me what his was
right.
Again. So, this is the word sexy followed by your last Google search.
So this is I got to provide context here. I'm gonna try to. Be as quick as I
no,
can.
No, 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 no. Just say the sexy name and then.
Can I wait to get the sexy?
No. I want. I think the sexy name should go first.
So it was sexy. Oh shit! It was sexy Ben Stiller on Ted Cruz.
And let me pause you there and let me repeat that slowly and louder for the audience. Since turning his head away, I think he was sort of ashamed. That was
very much so.
Sexy Ben Stiller. On Ted Cruz.
So here's the context, which is going to be good, right? So earlier in the day, Ted Cruz had tweeted, about the Emmys. Oh, Ben Stiller and Bob Newhart are hilarious on the Emmys. And he did two crying, laughing faces that were sideways, not straight up and down, which is important, obviously. To this, because he was really laughing, like throwing his head back laughing. And so, like, me being the petty son of a bitch that I am, I was like, I'm gonna go find something Ben Stiller said bad about Ted Cruz. So I go into Google and I typed in Ben Stiller on Ted Cruz, which made for quite the sexy Halloween costume.
And did you find any Ben Stiller quotes about Ted Cruz?
No, I did about Trump, though.
Oh, okay.
Where Ben Stiller, I believe it was Trump's first State of the Union or something, where Ben Stiller was like, this is the worst thing a president has ever told the people, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and do you want to know a secret?
Sure.
Yeah, so the sexy name that I...
It's not a secret now.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be in a second. The sexy name that I put on Twitter was Sexy TwitchCon FAQ, because I'm going to TwitchCon in a couple days, and I'm nervous, and I wanted to, like, figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. But that was actually kind of a lie. It wasn't a lie, it wasn't my most recent Google search, because if I had put my this is my second most recent Google search. If I had put my most recent Google search, it would have said sexy cocky as fuck everything about me poppin'. Which doesn't make any grammatical sense at all.
No.
No, because I heard a clip of a song in a video that I had seen.
Makes sense.
And I wanted to find out the lyrics, but I wanted to find out what the song was so I could add to my playlist, but I only had the lyrics, and the opening lyrics were sexy as fuck everything about me poppin'. Cocky as fuck everything about me poppin'. Yeah.
Our actual ones actually I think are what that whole Twitter thing was meant for. And we were just too chicken to actually post it. But that's
because I think that sexy TwitchCon frequently asked questions is funny.
It was good.
My crowd, my peeps.
I could not, like, if I just posted on Twitter and people just glanced at it, like, that was my fear. People would be like, oh my God, he was looking for Ben Stiller on Ted Cruz porn. And, you know, I just could not have that be something people associated me with.
Do you think that that exists?
Okay, so here's the thing. So one day, I won't even name names. I won't even say which family members or friends. So one day I'm headed down to Seattle with a group of people I know. And they go, there can't be everything porn, right? And they go under there. And so somebody shouts out, well, how about Crash Bandicoot? And so another certain somebody inside of the car goes, well, let me look it up. And sure enough, there was Crash Bandicoot porn. So I think
I'm trying to find Ben Stiller and Ted Cruz porn.
In the dark web somewhere. Oh, man.
Safe search app? No, safe search is not on.
So this is.
I'm just finding a lot of Zoolander shit.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, he talks about Ted Cruz's fat. Okay, so we are 6 minutes in it. Can you believe we have not mentioned that there are official impeachment inquiry to the President of the United States, Donald Trump?
It's wild, dude. It's wild. I didn't have enough time to, like, really, like, watch the actual hearing. I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to hopefully be watching it, like, later tonight or tomorrow night because I was getting ready for the stream. But holy shit, we're finally getting an impeachment hearing. God, and all it took was the president going after Biden because apparently Biden only cares about himself.
Isn't that the craziest thing? Some people believe this will actually work to Biden's advantage because people will associate Biden's name with getting Trump impeached. And I'm like,
despite the fact that Elizabeth Warren was like one of the first people, if not the first person, to be like, we should impeach the fucking president, like after the Mueller report.
Yeah, she definitely does have that she can say because I love because here's the thing, and I know like this is not the time to be like jumping, you know, against Nancy Pelosi. But here's the thing, though. Everybody today is talking now because I'm happy it's happening. I really am, guys. Like, I'm not trying to, like, rain anybody's parade, okay? But, like, everybody's like, oh, we knew Nancy was just waiting for the right time. Nancy's so good. She's so smart. And it's like, no, Nancy, like, maybe I'm cynical, but this is where I feel Nancy's at. She's like, what is the loss here? If he gets impeached, she gets all the credit, even though, like you mentioned, Elizabeth Warren as well as was Beto one of the? Was he in the beginning as well? I don't know. But anyways, Elizabeth Warren was definitely one of the first ones. Mm-hmm. And so if he gets impeached, though, Nancy's going to take all the credit. And if he doesn't get impeached, Nancy will just be like, "Well, I told you guys, but you pressured me into this."
Yeah. Also, I mean, I think that like the Senate voted unanimously to it was to do something related to impeachment of Donald Trump. Let me look that up. Impeachment Senate unanimous, because people were talking about how like the issue with impeachment is going to be getting through the Senate, but then like every senator like voted on. I don't think it was to patch impeachment, pass the impeachment inquiry, but there was some one piece of it that they voted unanimously on.
Well, and what I can say is that. And by the way, this is just a sample size, so I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, yeah, the Senate's going to vote to impeach him. But when you do take a look at a lot of the, you know, especially the senators you don't hear a lot from, some of them who are Republican or, you know, even what we can consider a more middle ground Republican, some of it have mentioned that they are definitely for the hearing. And I don't think it's crazy to think that as the Republicans see this absolutely going out of control, that if they feel, hey, look, there's a lot going on right now, I feel like they feel, okay, if we impeach Trump, and yes, that almost for sure means we're going to get a Democrat as president in 2020, but it might give them time to recuperate their party come time for 2024 or 2028. And if they don't, and there's a lot of bad things that come out here, they could lose that party. I mean, somebody was saying the other day, I think it was on the Young Turks, so I mean, obviously very, very left-leaning network. But, you know, but the thought was if he somehow, God forbid, gets even four more years, that he could do so much damage to the Republican Party that they would literally have to essentially burn the party to the ground and rebuild it as something, you know, with some of its core values, but really something different, because that's how much things could go off the rails basically with Trump as president. And so for another 4 years. So this might be, they might look at it as their chance. like, okay, yeah, we got it now. You know, cut the
yeah.
Cut the corner.
The thing I was mentioning earlier, it was Senate Republicans on Tuesday were united in demanding President Donald Trump's administration turn over the whistleblower report
yes.
as required by law. The Senate has unanimously agreed to Schumer's resolution calling for the whistleblower complaint to be turned over to the intelligence committees immediately. That's every Senate Republican plus every Democrat now via unanimous consent agreeing to call on the Trump administration to cough up the whistleblower complaint, not just the phone transcript. Like, right. What the fuck? Like, that's, like, shocking.
And that, by me, and the thing about that that is even, that brings more into this story is that Trump has been very, very cooperative about saying, hey, I will give you the phone transcript. And yet he hasn't said a thing about the whistleblower complaint. And that goes to show you how important the whistleblower complaint is going to be throughout all this. Because the transcripts, we know, if you go back and you look at what happened with Nixon, we know, and you know that there is that whatever we hear on the transcripts, Trump is not going to give them to us if it is, you know, oh yeah, guys, listen to it. You're right. You know, you can impeach me now. You know, so mm-hmm. he's doing this as a way to say, oh, hey, look, as I'm willing to give you the transcript, so that I don't have to give you the whistleblower complaint, because that might be where I am. But I heard that he also did say something along the lines, and this was, I saw this going through the tons of articles I went through today. So, you know, again, paraphrasing. But basically where he did say, I want to work this out in those sort of terms. I want to work something out. I thought that was a very interesting sentence to use in regards to what's coming up for him. I want to work something out, as if he might know that he might need to work something out. Because treason is a very serious, yes. if he were to be found guilty of that. Oh, man.
And, I was gonna say something. So somebody on Twitter commented, I don't know, okay, here's the deal guys, and first of all, I apologize, I will try to be more prepared by next episode. I've been going through a lot the past few weeks. My pet rat Gretchen passed away, and there was like a whole ordeal leading up to that, and I'm preparing for TwitchCon, then I had like an episode of my other podcast that was like supposed to get out last week, and I was like super behind, and so I was like pulling late nights, and it was like difficult in a lot of ways. So like a lot of like the details behind why we're doing this impeachment hearing, I don't actually know that much about. Like, something happened with Ukraine and there's a phone call and Joe Biden. From my understanding, Donald Trump had a phone call with the Ukrainian prime minister, and meanwhile, Ukraine's in like a civil war. And so Trump threatened to withhold money from Ukraine in their fight against like rebels backed by Russian separatists. There's a lot happening. Okay, so there's that happening. He threatens to withhold funding from Ukraine unless Ukraine helped him find dirt on Joe Biden, who he perceived to be his biggest threat, right?
Ukraine president, not prime
Ukraine
minister.
President.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's happening, and he does not have the right to withhold foreign aid. That's not something the president has the right to do, so it's a huge abuse of power, plus using his relationships with foreign governments to find dirt on his opponent is also a big no-no. And then also, like, Joe Biden is a senator for a very long time and has a lot of friends in the Senate, including a lot of friends with older Republicans, which is why, like, they're pissed off, because, like, it's not just going after Hillary Clinton, it's going after somebody that they actually fuck with, right?
Essentially, that, yeah, there's a lot of ins and outs to this, even some that I guess I've been through so many articles, and I'm not as familiar about what he threatened to withhold or the, you know, what the actual deal was there, but that's obviously been part of it. It's pretty insane, because when you think about all the things that have happened in this presidency, and I realize that that's how government works, right? But I was thinking in my head today, I'm like, we still have people and we still have both adults and children in essentially cages at the border, and they're still, and this is happening because he could not figure out a better way to deal with immigration than to set up internment camps. And So it's crazy to me that this is where we got to finally move in the right direction of potentially getting him impeached. Because to me, there have been so many crimes against humanity. My God, Puerto Rico, for crying out loud. I mean, we could go and I realize that he's not, it's not exclusive to Trump. Like, there have been plenty of things in the past that presidents have done that were terrible, terrible things, but they're not what people deem as impeachable offenses, because the impeachment process is so tedious. But it is crazy to me that this is where we're at. It's also crazy to me that after all the shit that's gone down, that we know he's not like the smartest person in the world, but he is a great con man. And it is a little bit amazing to me that he would actually do this. Like, you would think that after all the Russia stuff, like, he is stupid.
he's stupid. Like, whenever people are talking about how, like, oh, he's playing 4D chess, or like even like liberals who are like, guys, we can't just call Trump stupid, like, right, that, like, we can't underestimate him, like, look at how far he's gone, like, we can't call him stupid, but like I really do think he's stupid.
I think that, I don't think he even knows what treason means, by the way. I think that might be why he's
I don't think that he knows how to read well enough to look at the fuck up.
Yeah, all right, he just doesn't care. I mean, that's the other thing. Somebody was saying the other day, you know, is Trump racist? Well, yes, he is racist. Is Trump sexist? Yes, he is sexist. But even more than all that, Trump is also, he literally does not give a fuck about anyone who doesn't benefit him. And I realize that can be something that you see with a lot of politicians. Okay, I get that. But to him, it's to a whole nother level. And when you hear about all the things through his time as a landlord, or I don't even, that seems like too small of a title to, you know, but when we're talking about Trump, people living in Trump Tower, and, you know, those sort of things, you know, and how, what he did to minorities, and his family's history with that as well. And this is just a guy who has absolutely zero care for human life, human feeling at all, because unless it benefits him, he just does not care. And that's how he's treated the presidency as well. And the proof is he doesn't know actually what this means, what he's done with the Ukraine president. He doesn't even get it, because all he thinks about is that, look, I'm in power. I'm the most powerful person in the world. And I just can do whatever I want. I can call this guy up and I can get what I want out of it.
And because the only thing he cares about is extending his stay in power.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's what's so crazy is that I remember at the beginning of this, I probably said it on this podcast too, I was like, you know, this is a guy who, you know, when you're a kid and you get asked, what would you do if you were president? And kids are like, I would outlaw broccoli. And like, Trump believes you can do that. Like, you know, that's his thought. Like, if you become president, you can just do whatever you want. You can outlaw broccoli if you want to. And but it is fascinating, because here we go. This is only, I believe, if I, correct me if I'm wrong, third time in history there have been impeachment hearings.
There's Clinton and Nixon. I would need to check. Those are the only two I can think of.
I was gonna say, the reason why is, I don't, did Nixon ever have impeachment hearings? Is he resigned?
He resigned.
Yeah. So I think it would have been, was it, I can't think of it. Can't think of the damn name of it. Way, way back. Because I believe there was another president, not Jackson, but.
Okay. Impeachment in the United States.
I think it would have been, there was somebody way, way back. And normally I would know this, but to be honest with you, I'm getting old. And high school
high school's a long time ago, but also there's so much fucking information we have to process now. Like, history does not stop. You know, history does not stop like when you stop learning about it. It continues, and like sometimes I feel like stuff gets shoved out of my brain. There's also not like a clear list very easily.
Right. There's like, so I think it was I believe it was.
I did find a ThoughtCo.com article about impeachment process in the U.S. government, and the opening paragraph is, the impeachment process in U.S. government was first suggested by Benjamin Franklin during the Constitutional Convention of 1787, noting that the traditional mechanism for removing, quote-unquote, obnoxious chief executives, like kings, from power had been assassination. Franklin glibly suggested the impeachment process as a more rational and preferable method.
I love the fact that was obviously, yeah, that would be something that Benjamin Franklin would have suggested. Did you realize, by the way, Benjamin Franklin, he invented the hot tub.
He did?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
About 80%. It was on a video game I played once.
Okay, well, no, I have to look it up. But also, I did find a list. Andrew Johnson was actually impeached when Congress became unhappy with the way with some post-Civil War matters, but Johnson was acquitted in the Senate by one vote and remained in office. The fucking murderous bastard.
Yeah.
Congress also introduced a resolution to impeach John Tyler over states' rights issues, but the resolution failed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nixon, who resigned during the debate, and then Clinton.
Right. So, yeah, so it was Johnson who I was thinking, because I kept saying Jackson. I knew it wasn't Jackson, because even though Jackson was...
Oh, wait, yes. You're right. I got them confused again.
No, you were fine. You said Johnson. You're right.
Wait, because... I think that Andrew Jackson was the murderous one.
Oh, right. I see. When you said the murderous one. And, yeah, Andrew Jackson was responsible for the Trail of Tears.
Yes, the genocide, the genocidal one.
He was not impeached. Andrew Johnson was impeached, or was not impeached, but was impeached by the House, I believe.
That's so fucking ugly. Like, I respect him. I mean, like, he's not, like, the ugliest president we've had.
No, I think that was William Taft.
No, William Taft was the fattest, but he's not the ugliest.
Was he? I don't know. He was the one I thought that was, no, wait, Grover Cleveland had a, he was, Grover Cleveland was president, and then he was not president, and then he came back and was president. Only one to do that.
Yes.
That's crazy. That
Who do you think the ugliest president is?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just said William Taft and you scolded me for it. So
I'm just saying like...
Donald
like,
Trump.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
So throughout all this, so this is a crazy week because we've also had Greta Thunberg, who is, came all the way across the Atlantic on a boat. She's here in the United States right now. And she has taken a lot of flack as a 16-year-old girl who has really done something quite extraordinary, if you consider that just a year ago she was protesting by herself. Now, a year later, you have a climate strike that is with hordes of people who are you know, marching with her around the world. But she, from a lot of the right-wing pundits, you saw everything from people calling her mentally ill because of her Asperger's disease. You had Dinesh...
Just as a point of clarification so we don't get tweets about this. She doesn't... Asperger's is a syndrome. It's not a disease.
I'm sorry, right.
Yeah.
Asperger's syndrome. You had Dinesh D'Souza, who's an otherwise... terrible human being as well, who had things to say about her. And then you had the other thing that conservatives did, which is that they tried to twist this as child abuse and people using her for their own gain, which is incredibly, incredibly just ridiculous to me, considering that she's 16, first of all. She's not an 8 or a 9 year old, but even then, you know, these kids are going to have to live in this world that is slowly, you know, burning. She's 16 years old. She crossed a fucking ocean to get here. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is like, if somebody said to me today, by the way, with financial backing, hey, we'll pay you $1 million to sail across the Atlantic Ocean. $1 million is a lot of money. I'm an adventurous personality. I do not believe I would cross the ocean on a boat for $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, and so she did this for climate change. I love the environment.
And it was like a solar powered boat or something too. It was very
cool. I do not know all the stats about the boat, but I do know that we're, whatever you're crossing the Atlantic in, it's gotta be fucking terrifying. And so, or the Pacific. And so like, I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I do some crazy shit too, but like that, I'm like, nah, hell no. Like, so I love the environment. I want to make this world a better place, but would I cross the ocean to make my point? Especially if I was just a prop being used by adults, as they put it. God, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. Like I said, if somebody paid me $5 million, I don't know if I'd do it. Anyways, the thing is that she is an extraordinary young woman, and she has brought such a huge, and by the way, she's brought a level of eloquence to her responses to these absolute monsters on how they've really treated her. And she
did you see the Donald Trump thing? Because I wanted to talk about that. I even pulled it up.
The one where he like basically said that she was, you know, he like
Donald Trump quote retweeted a video, the video of Greta Thunberg talking about at the climate summit, where she was passionate and like on the verge of tears, like the entire like a lot of the time, and like was furious at condemning like these world leaders for their inaction on climate change in like a brilliant and eloquent way. Donald Trump quote retweeted this and says, "She seems like a happy young girl looking forward to a bright and wonderful future. So nice to see." Like very like sarcastic, very like dismissing her and like poking fun at her. I heard her name pronounced as like Thunberg the other day. I don't really know exactly how
it is. As Americans, I'm sure pronouncing it wrong, but
yeah, probably. But she changed her Twitter bio to say, "A very happy young girl looking forward to a bright and wonderful future."
I know, it was so perfect. And she had a response today, by the way, to the claims that she's just a prop, which was also obviously, it's very long, so people go look for it if you want to read it. But it was very, very well put. And, you know, we are going to need not just Greta, we're going to need so many other young people like her, because the truth is that we are going to go through some huge, huge changes in these upcoming, hopefully, decades, if we have that long. And, you know, her dedication to this is incredible. And so even if you don't agree with it, which, by the way, I have a lot of questions for you if you don't agree with her. But even if you don't agree with what she has to say, that doesn't mean that you have to tear down somebody with the passion and the attention to detail when it comes to what she is fighting for. It's not just, "I love the Earth, there is no planet B, we need to do something." She literally knows her shit. Give this girl some credit for knowing what she's fighting against and fighting for. And I mean, you know, God, I mean, talk about people who just, boy, I mean, it must be nice to sit there and think to yourself, "Oh, you know what? I'm going to be dead in 20 years. So what the fuck do I care what happens here?" Like, yeah. I mean, good for you, man. Jeez. So a big thank you to Greta. We are big fans of yours. So fuck the haters.
I want to name like my, I want to have that. Two kids. Yeah. I want to have two kids named Greta and Malala after my two favorite youth activists.
So great. And by the way, Malala was on David Letterman, my next guest, and it was great. So if anybody wants to look that up on Netflix. So that happened. And then we also have the polls right now regarding the Democratic, because gosh, there's still an election coming up too next year. Whew. So the polls have actually, in the last little bit, have shown Elizabeth Warren closing in quite a bit on Biden. In fact, in some cases, she's leading Biden in polls. In fact, in Iowa, I believe she was leading both Sanders and Biden, right? Oddly enough, they also put Sanders' number, even though it was above other candidates, they still put him below those candidates as if to show that he's not one of the top contenders.
Which polling source was this?
That was Iowa. It was in the Iowa poll they did where Elizabeth was. And so Sanders had actually, I believe, if I'm not right, a better number than, it might have even been Biden, but it was better than Harris or Booker. And they put him below, even though he had a higher number. And people were like, "Why would you put this below if he has a higher number?" Just because the other person was deemed to be more popular. I don't know. Anyways, that's my Sanders rant. But Warren has almost, you could almost argue she is now sort of the, I mean, at worst, she's tied for front runner, right?
We're gonna have to see like how the impeachment hearings boost Biden if they do.
But there's also it's not like the impeachment hearings are going to say good things about Biden. Because he was looking for dirt on him, and there was dirt on him. And so, I mean, like, it is weird. Yeah, but you're right, because this could, though, and people have even said that, this could end up looking good for Biden. Which is insanity to me. But plus, I really do feel like, too, like once we get to the actual primaries, which is that like January? Does that start? I think we start January, February.
I'm not sure the date.
Yeah, and well, I mean, because we'll obviously start on the, you know, I think they don't start in. Do they start? Yeah, they start in Iowa. Maybe, I don't know. Anyways, I don't have the exact information there, so feel free to yell at me on Twitter. Anyways, when the primaries start, that's when I think things are going to really, really start to come to fruition, because these polls right now, I mean, we already know that people thought the Sanders is way behind Hillary Clinton until, I mean, even the night of the Michigan primaries, they thought, oh, there's no way that Sanders is going to take that Michigan primary over Clinton. And sure enough, he did. And so we really don't know until those start. I think Iowa is still a caucus. I'm not sure. It's crazy because Washington has always been a caucus. Now we're a primary. So now I just see everything as a primary. But y'all get the picture. And I think that's going to be very, very interesting, because on the Republican side of things, when you look at where states that Trump did take in 2016, Michigan being one of those, supposedly, allegedly, they actually believe, the campaign believes, Michigan is a wash now. Michigan will not vote to Trump back into office. They think they've lost Texas potentially. They think that
if they lose Texas, I will lose my fucking shit.
Right? That's basically what somebody was saying. Somebody was saying last night that basically if they lose Texas, the Republican Party is.
Yeah.
They're worried about Texas, worried about Georgia, worried about North Carolina. The state that they're not as worried about, which is kind of crazy, but then again, the state is kind of crazy. Florida is actually one that has stuck with him, whereas everywhere else it seems that places he won, he unexpectedly won. Favorability or whatever has dropped, but in Florida it hasn't. So they actually believe he might keep Florida. But yeah, I mean, there's talk that they believe Michigan's a wash. And that was something that was very important to him.
I need to switch back to Michigan as a voter, because a lot of people like assumed Michigan would be fine and like didn't vote there, like got registered in other places. And
yeah. Were you in California or Michigan in
2016? I was still in school at the time. I was still in college. I was a junior in college. So okay. I decided to vote in California because there were down ballot issues that I cared about, like the propositions, and Michigan didn't have any, like basically didn't have any down ballot issues, just the presidential election. So I decided to vote here instead, and I kind of regret that. Except that I am proud of like making my voice heard in those down ballot.
Right. Issues. I was gonna say though, being in California, you could have voted with about 100 other people for Godzilla, and it wouldn't have made a difference. It would still be a blue state.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how Washington is as well. It'll be interesting to see what this does to the debates too. What's happening this week? Because the good thing that was happening in the debates, even though I wasn't happy with how all the candidates were answering the questions, was that at least we were talking about healthcare, we were talking about immigration, we were talking about even in some ways things like rent control and stuff like that. I have this feeling though, now we're going to start talking about impeachment. And that is not a bad thing, but I'm not sure it is the greatest thing for the debates.
Yeah.
Is that like, I know there's more that we probably, I know you haven't listened to it yet, but last week I want to thank Agatha Baslar again for being on the show. She is, I want to remind everybody, she is running against Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco for District 12. And it was interesting because she had mentioned something regarding money in politics. We talked a little bit about money in politics, and she had said, you know, but when we were talking about candidates like Ro Khanna, and this doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with the money thing, it sort of is just how politics can be not what they seem. And talking about Ro Khanna, who's always been a big supporter of Bernie Sanders policies and progressive policies, AOC or Ilhan Omar. And is interesting because she said, well, you know, because Ro Khanna had basically mentioned when she had talked to Ro Khanna I'm a big supporter of Pelosi, but I love what you're doing along those lines. And I asked her, I said, well, you know, I said, is that frustrating? You know, and she's like, well, you know, it's how politics are. And, you know, they're very supportive of me, but obviously, you know, they know what they kind of have to say and do and, you know, and who they support. And which I totally get. And Agatha is such a great, great person to listen to because she's very, very intelligent and she knows what she's talking about in regards to politics and she knows what she wants to fix. And she's very, very pragmatic about how she goes about it. But for me as not a politician, like that frustrates me so much because I feel like that is what is especially what turns young people away from politics when they hear stuff like, you know, Ro Khanna, who I love what I've seen Ro Khanna do. And when this was in an actual article where they talk about the fact that Ro Khanna said this. And it's just, it's so crazy for me to hear that because you would think that they would say, hey, look, there's been a movement going on, AOC winning, you know, her race and Ilhan Omar running hers. And Ro Khanna, and obviously we have other progressives that are also joining in. There's that guy from, I think, from Washington State who's a truck driver, and I don't know what the likelihood of him winning is, but it's great that he's running. You have all these people who are inspired to do this. And you think that people like Ro Khanna, who benefited from the progressive movement, you would think that he'd be like, yeah, I know what I'm supposed to say, but... God damn, we've got not only Agatha Baslar, but also there's another person running, another progressive running in that primary. And you'd think you'd just get behind that. And it's so hard for me to see that because I know it's how politics work. I volunteer in politics, so I know that that's what happens even at a local level. But man, we're going to continue to drive away young voters. As many as we're getting in, which is a lot right now, we're going to drive them out if they start hearing shit like that, because it's just, it's so counterproductive to what's actually happening. Yeah. And, but yeah, if you guys didn't get a chance to hear that, it was a special episode. Aiden was unable to be on that show last week, but I interviewed Agatha Baslar and she's, just really, really great to listen to and worth your time. Hopefully if you're in San Francisco to give a vote to Agatha,
and do some canvassing.
Do some canvassing, yeah. And as even Agatha would tell you, look at the other people on the ballot. Just, but by gosh, you know, it doesn't have to be Pelosi. So, you know, do your research. Research. I wish I could vote net, but I am not in California. So I think that would be illegal. Anyways, what else you got, Aiden? So you're going to TwitchCon here. You mentioned that at the beginning of the podcast. What are you going to be doing there?
Oh my God. There's like a few different events that I'm going to, different meetups. And so I'm really excited about this. I bought business cards that are like, I had them custom designed and they're business cards that are large squares. And on one side, the front side, it has my contact information. And on the back side, it has a crossword puzzle that I designed that has trivia about my stream and my interests. So like, I have like, don't show this like on Instagram or anything, but this is like the mock-up that I have. So I have like, you can edit this out if you need to. I'm on camera.
Aiden's showing me right now the mock-up, which is top secret, by the way. So
it's top secret, top secret.
So you guys, I can't show this.
I don't want anybody to like get spoiled for the puzzle, you know?
Exactly. But
I have, like,
yeah.
Yes, I have like different like, and these are like, it's actually, it looks like it's reversed for you.
No, it's actually, I see it straight. That is amazing. That is actually, by the way, a very, very unique and clever thing that you're doing.
I know. That's, and I made them like big so that people can't just like put them in like a general business card folder or like, exactly. like a little stack of business cards. Like, oh, this is where all my business cards go, and then put it there and forget about it. It's a big puzzle. Like they have to like use it as a bookmark or like stack it on their wall, you know, like if they're going to do it. So it like stays in their memory. And the crossword puzzle, not only does it tie into the idea of my stream, it also gives us stuff to talk about. Like, this is what some of my favorite games are. This is like, I'm from Michigan, like that, like, it's not spoilers, but that's like one of the answers on there. Like stuff about my podcasting, you know, like, so
what's also exciting about this, or what I should say is genius about it, is that a thing like TwitchCon where people will get bored throughout the day, especially if they're like people who are actually there, you know, all day, is that they want something to do and you've given them a crossword puzzle. And what's even more genius is to find the answers, they'll have to listen to your podcast.
Yeah, I don't actually have any that have, they have to, like, I tried to steer away from questions that they can get by, like, they have to get by, like, watching my stream. Okay. But, like, most of the stuff that's here, like, it's stuff that they can find from my social media, from my Twitch bio.
That's genius.
Yeah. Seven down, Aiden's top choice for 2020 president. Now it's a tie between two, I'd say.
Yeah, because you love the underdog. And
I love the underdog.
And now the underdog is coming out. Now you're joining.
Team hashtag Bernie.
Bernie.
Okay, guess this. Eight down, Aiden's favorite number puzzle. Screw the spoilers. I want to give Brandon some of these questions.
Okay, wait, so say that again.
Eight is Aiden's favorite number puzzle.
Aiden's favorite number puzzle? Should I know this?
You might not, actually. This one might be hard, but they should be able to get it from crossings.
Okay. Gotcha. Because number puzzle, like the only number puzzle I know of is Sudoku.
Bingo, you got it.
Oh, it is Sudoku.
It's Sudoku. Okay.
I'm so proud of myself right now.
What's the source of most of the background images on my stream?
Blankets?
What?
Well, I see blank. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, no, on my stream. Like, oh, not your on stream. My webcam.
Oh, well, it would be crossword puzzles.
No, that's what I do on stream. What's okay. The background images? I know you haven't actually ever watched it. Watched your
stream. It's so terrible. I want to, too.
It's okay. But I have space backgrounds from NASA. I use NASA's public domain.
Oh, my gosh.
I use NASA's public domain library and get tons of cool, like, Hubble space images.
That is so cool. That's really, really smart, too, because otherwise you use copyright bullshit.
Yeah. Five across, Aiden's diet. It's five letters.
Oh, vegan.
Yes. Okay, one across, title of Aiden's podcast.
Dibs.
Yes. Conservationist conversationalists did not fit in the little grid.
That would be a lot. That would be a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And then two down, Aiden's orientation.
Aiden's orientation is, how many letters?
It's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 letters. And it does cross with dibs. So you knew dibs. So look at that.
Okay. So it's bisexual.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Starts with the B.
I didn't want to assume pansexual is both genders and
And okay, here accessory Aiden often wears on stream.
Scarf.
No. I did buy a crossword scarf.
See, that's what I thought. Yeah. See, so I do pay attention to your social media.
Mm-hmm.
I do need so okay accessory you wear. How could you wear? You can't wear a musk because you're in California and it's hot.
A musk?
No, you can't wear much in California because it's hot.
So yes, I always stream naked. You know this.
No, I mean, I mean like a jacket would be too much.
Yes.
Is it some kind of jewelry? Oh, your crown! You've worn your crown, or you can sell a tiara or a crown.
I actually have several. I have four different crowns. This is technically a tiara.
Okay.
But I the answer is crown. But both are five letters, so it's kind of tricky. Like if you see it and you put in tiara,
that's what crosswords are supposed to be like. Yeah.
I know it's tricky.
You're, goddamn! I knew when I had you do this. I say job, but let's be real. Neither one of us are making enough money. I knew when I had you do this co-hosting gig that it was because you were smart.
Thanks, and I appreciate it. And I also have like a big book of different or not book, but the New York Times did like a special Puzzle Mania issue where they had like a huge mega crossword that is like enormous, like has hundreds and hundreds of clues. It's called a super mega puzzle, and I didn't solve it. Instead, I kept it, and I'm bringing it to TwitchCon, and I'm gonna have it out so people can work on it together. It can take somebody a couple hours to do it. People will often like work on it together. And then the Super Mega Puzzle Edition also has like a ton of other different types of puzzles, including weird Sudoku puzzles, Sudoku variants, like different word games, like all sorts of different puzzles, visual puzzles, like trivia puzzles, like. So I'm gonna bring all of that, and I'm gonna find a little place. And I'm bringing a Rubik's Cube, and I'm bringing some like wooden puzzles, and I have some like little metal puzzles. So I'm bringing all of it, and I'm gonna have like a little puzzle area, and people can come chill and solve puzzles with me.
It's gonna be fun. I wish I was down there because I would stop by, and that just sounds like so much fun. So
it costs like $89. It costs like $90 a day.
Money's money. So
that attitude's why neither of us have any of it.
and soon we won't need it, because world's ending. So I got a question for you before I let you go and get ready for TwitchCon.
So
on the topic of puzzles, so you made me think of something here, because I'm somebody who, if I'm watching like a trivia show, right, like Jeopardy or something like that, like I'm pretty quick and good with it, okay? And now if I do a crossword puzzle, though, because you just mentioned it could take somebody a couple hours, this mega puzzle. I mean, like on the normal size puzzles, it could take me a couple hours. And yet that's why, because I, for some reason, I'm just not, I don't tend to, no, if I'm doing word search, which I know is totally different, I'm quick as hell. Like I'm really fast with those. And Sudoku, I'm also really good with Sudoku. But why is it, do you have any opinion as a puzzler? Do you have any opinion as to why I struggle with something like a crossword puzzle, even though I am somebody who loves trivia, and I can do other puzzles, but for some reason, crossword puzzles, I struggle with?
Yeah, so the first thing I would say is make sure you know what day of the week the puzzle was published on, okay. Because the puzzles get harder throughout the week. Monday is the easiest week for the puzzle, and then they get increasingly difficult throughout the week, and Saturday is the hardest day. Sunday is a medium like level difficulty, but it's a much bigger grid. It's a 21 by 21 square grid instead of a typical 15 by 15.
Okay.
So start with the Monday and start by doing a lot of Mondays until you sort of get a sense of them, and then move on to the Tuesday, etc. The difference between like a Monday and like a Saturday isn't necessarily the type of answer that's in it. I mean, that can be part of it, but it's usually the way it's clued. For instance, Oreo is a clue that comes up a lot in crosswords. I made a very funny Twitter joke about that. It comes up like constantly, like at least once a week, it seems, is the word Oreo is used, just because the letters are very convenient.
Right.
On a Monday level, you might, you like the word Oreo might be clued as something like milk's favorite cookie, or like black and white cookie, you know? A Saturday puzzle might be sandwich created in 1912.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah. So the level of clue difficulty increases. Mm. Also, Saturdays tend to have much longer words. They're usually themeless grids, which means usually there'll be like certain theme answers that have like wordplay in them. Throughout the week, those are the wordplay that unites certain large longer answers is called a theme.
Right.
Saturday puzzles and Friday puzzles usually don't have themes. They're themeless, which means that they're not a themed grid will have like a few long entries that are united by a common wordplay. And then like a lot of smaller entries, whereas Saturdays and Fridays don't have that same constraint. So you'll have a lot of very long entries in a very open grid, like a lot of like 10 letter entries and 15 letter entries, instead of like a lot more like 6 letter entries. And so like, you'll have like a lot of longer phrases that can be tricky to parse. The other thing is like as you solve more crossword puzzles, as you get practice, you start to learn what's called crossword ease. And that those are words that aren't used very often in day-to-day life, but come up a lot in crossword puzzles, like disproportionately. Like words like apse, which is a part of a church. It's like a church vocabulary, APSE. Even people who go to church don't really use the word apse. But it comes up a lot in crossword puzzles, and eventually just sort of know what to look out for. And so once you get those, once you like learn how to recognize those and get those into the grid, then it starts to go a lot faster and you start to get footholds in the grid. So once you start to learn crossword ease, like these like shorter words that have like a lot of really familiar or a lot of really common letters that are used very often, and like get a sense of the cluing, it's just one of those things that gets practice. Also, there's different conventions you need to learn. For instance, things like if a clue ends in a question mark, they're typically not asking you a question. Typically, like that indicates that there's going to be some sort of pun or wordplay.
Right.
For instance. Yeah, so basically you're supposed to, at least one of the words in that clue should not be taken at face value. One of my favorite example is boat that's 1% full, ? You hear boat that's 1% full and you think it's like referring to the capacity of the boat, like 1% of the cabins of the boat are occupied, for instance.
Right.
The actual answer to that clue was yacht. It's a boat that's full of 1%ers, you know, people who are like in the top 1%. That was a Thursday.
That's really good. That's really good.
Yeah. So when you see a question mark clue, you need to think, do not take these words at face value. Like whatever you like, look at it, and like the first thing that comes to your mind probably isn't right. There's a puzzle I constructed. I haven't actually submitted it anywhere, but I was really proud of it. The clue was lower lip ? Guess what it was? Lower lip.
Okay, well, I have an idea.
It's not your bottom lip. It's not right. Like your bottom lip.
Yeah, no, I figured that part.
Yeah.
Give me the answer.
Labia.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say. I didn't want to like assume, and then you know, I was rather you say it.
Another one of my favorite ? Is a place where cats play ? The answer is jazz club.
Because
jazz cats, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, that's like one of them. Another thing to look out for is if a word. The tensor number of the clue matches the tensor number of the answer. So if a clue is written in past tense, the answer will be in past tense. You can't just change the tense to fit the number of letters you have. So there's like little tricks like that that you learn over time. The New York Times did publish an article about how to solve the New York Times crossword. So I'd highly recommend looking that up if you're interested. But overall, I'd recommend just getting the app and just starting to solve a bunch of Mondays, you know, just start easy and build up from there.
Well, no, and it is interesting because when you even think about other trivia, like if you play local trivia or if you are watching a show like Jeopardy, you do start to pick up even there a certain vocabulary that you understand, okay, this is what they're getting at whenever they ask this, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense that crosswords would have that same sort of thing, you know, with their questions. So. Well, Aiden, I I'll be there in spirit. I really do wish that I could be down there at TwitchCon, and I wish you all the best of luck there. I think you're gonna have a great time. You're gonna do awesome, and it was, boy, this week has been crazy. I feel like we're not even going to be able to catch up even in upcoming weeks. We've got so much stuff that's going on right now in the world, but you know, maybe, just maybe. We're going to be able to have that celebratory show one day.
One day.
But anyways, thank you everybody for listening to the Conservationist Conversationalist. You can listen to my music podcast, Lemonade Magazine Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all those things. You can listen to Aiden's podcast, Dibs, Welcome to the Family. And that's also on, I think, everything, right, including Spotify. But guess what? It's not on PodCoin anymore because PodCoin officially yesterday is RIP PodCoin.
Wait, is it officially dead? Like, I
said, yeah, you have to, if you have PodCoins, you got to send an email to them and get that all sorted out.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I did get like a $10 Target gift card. So, I mean, there you go. Something.
Yeah, there you go. And if you have some remaining points that might be enough to buy something, let them know and they'll handle it.
I have like 600 points.
I had 60. So, I'm really bad at it. And, so it's kind of sad though, because PodCoin really was doing, it was great for, new podcasts like ours and like, the other ones we do, solo. Because it gave us a chance to get a little bit of sort of a promotion, you know, of sorts there. So it is actually unfortunate the PodCoin is done, but we'll, you know, send it off on a boat on fire. Proper Viking funeral for PodCoin. Rest in peace. One day may you rise again. If you're good, Aiden, I'm good. And we can tell everybody to stay dope.
Stay dope.
All right. Later, everybody.